I'm going to do something right now that could get me in really big trouble, but I've been in trouble before, so I'm going to just go right ahead. Katarina, would you come up here? This is Katarina Gazelka. Thank you. I asked her when she bought the skirt, was it like a normal length on most people? She said it was a miniskirt. This is Katarina Gazelka. She's from the big metropolitan city of Spicer, Minnesota, which is outside the really, really big city of Wilmer, Minnesota, which is about an hour and a half away from the Twin Cities. So she's a Minnesota girl. She's okay. But I know her because when Harry went off to Oral Roberts University a couple years ago, she was on his sister wing, and she met up with him. And Harry started a group called The 70. Based on the 70 that Jesus sent out when he sent out his followers to do his works. And Katarina got on board with that, and she was in that group. It's kind of a discipleship group. She's been part of it. And then somewhere along the way, Harry had this great idea that he needed to fix her up with his brother Grayson. And so he fixed her up, and they've been fixed up ever since, because when Harry fixes you up, evidently it works. And so, Harry, there's some other people out here need your help. But anyway, that's another day. But today, I wanted Katarina to share something. You going to be okay? I can take you. I wanted you to share, because when Katarina was born again as a young child and baptized in the Holy Spirit as a teenager, but then she came and got involved with a 70, and Harry just went out to ORU and did there what we do here, which is to just teach people who they are in Christ and what they have and what they can do. And I've just been hearing some stories. I hadn't even talked to you about it. I've been hearing some stories about what's been going on your job this summer. I just thought maybe you could share a couple of the testimonies of things that's happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the thing about the 70 that kind of set me up for work was getting to actually share the gospel with people and see people get saved and healed and ministered to and baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that is something that I had wanted to do, like, during high school and different times in my life. Had shared the gospel with people at school in different times. Oh, class hasn't started yet. Let's just ask if you think you're going to go to heaven when you die or things like that, you know, normal high school conversation. But so I did that in high school, and nothing really ever happened. I got some weird looks and some funny conversations. But once I got into the 70, I started realizing that, wait, like, the Holy Spirit is upon me. I do have the authority to do this, and that I can expect to see results when I share this with people and kind of step out in my faith. And so through the 70, I started to experience that with Harry and people and see people saved and baptized in the Spirit and healed. So at work this summer, I'm like, okay, the same Jesus that was out at ORU is the same Jesus that's in me and that's at little Wilmer Target in Minnesota, don't you know? So what I started to do I'm sitting in the break room, I've got 15 minutes, and I really just want to FaceTime my boyfriend, but instead, I would just talk to the person next to me and be like, hey, like, do you think you're going to go to heaven when you die? Like, what are your thoughts about that? And I get kind of a weird look, and they're like, well, like, my break still has 15 minutes too, so I'll just talk to this girl. And so I started to get to share the gospel with people, and I got one really cool experience with my supervisor. I just shared the gospel with her, and she said, wow, like, she'd always kind of believed that there is a God, but never had, like, prayed a prayer to officially accept God into her heart. And so we just, like, stood right there and prayed the prayer of salvation. And then I was like, also, there's this really cool thing called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where when you don't know what to pray, God just, like, gives you the words, and it's really cool. And I prayed with, like, a lot of people, if you want to just receive that now. And she's, like, never heard of it before, but she's like, okay. And so we just prayed right there, prayed to be filled, and she started speaking out in tongues. And then we went back to the rest of our shift, and we've continued talking about just how to grow in our knowledge of the Lord since then. But just encourage y'all about not only those big moments where, okay, you have that breakthrough and you got to share the gospel with someone, they were saved or they were filled with the Spirit or healed. And I've had cool experiences like that too, with, like, praying for someone's knee at work too. It was a cool experience. But I had an experience one time where I shared the gospel with another supervisor, and he was like, not to offend you, but I'm really more of a logic type of person. This doesn't really make sense to me. And he seemed kind of uncomfortable, and I'm like, oh gosh, what have I done? This is so awkward. And so I just shared it with him, and he's like, okay, like, I don't really believe that. And so I just kind of went on the next few weeks into my job. And one day he came up to me when I was cashiering, and he said, hey, you know that thing that we talked about the other day? I actually really need that in my life, and I'd love to pray that prayer sometime. And so the one person that I thought, like, was the most close to it, God just, like, worked on their heart, like, behind the scenes, and so it was really cool. But, yeah, I don't know if that, yes.
That's what I wanted. Cool. Thank you. You did good. Thanks, Katerina. Let me give this to somebody so it doesn't roll around up here. So I wanted her to share that because I want you to see that anybody, anywhere, who just understands who they are, understands the authority you have in Christ, understands the gospel and what it means, and you're just willing to be bold and step out, God can do amazing things through you. He's willing. It's often us who, you know, aren't the willing ones. And so just be encouraged with that today. But, you know, one thing that we've been talking about a couple of weeks ago, I ministered, and we talked about finding a new normal in your life. And talk about finding a new normal. I have to tell you, if you weren't here Wednesday night, I was sitting in my seat and I was going, where else are people hearing a message on a Wednesday night like this? Because Pastor Nate ministered and he went through all the accounts in the scripture of people being raised from the dead. And he said, you know, this is our new normal. And I'm just sitting there going, that's good. All right, man. This is really weird. But yeah, okay, I'm for it. But anyway, talk about a new normal. We're just up in our expectancy here. And that's really what started happening in Katerina's life. She, when she was at ORU and was with, you know, among the people that were out doing the works of Christ, winning people to the Lord, getting people baptized in the Holy Spirit, she took that normal with her back into her world where she was working at Target in Wilbur, Minnesota, and decided, hey, it's normal to get people saved on your break. It's normal to get your supervisor baptized in the Holy Spirit to the break room. That's normal. Now you're sitting there going, I don't think that's normal. Well, it needs to be normal, and when it becomes normal in your eyes, things like that will begin happening in your life. And so all through the month of June, we started the month of June with Pentecost celebration, and we talked about the power of Pentecost. And then we had the first week in July, we had the teams that came back from Nicaragua and India, and they really just bore witness to what they had seen as far as the power of God working through them. And then last week, Jeremy Gall was here with us. Did y'all enjoy that? And he ministered and really added to what we'd heard, and we had testimonies this week of people who experienced miracles in the meetings and changes in their bodies. Thank God for that. But today I want to talk about something else that is really critical in this whole discussion of God's power and finding a new normal and embracing all that God has for us. And it's about the name of Jesus. And so I want to just begin reading. We see the book in the book of Acts, on Acts chapter 2, we see the day of Pentecost. And then the next chapter, Acts chapter 3. So if you have a Bible, turn there. They're going to go. Now, I'm going to tell you, we're going to read a lot of scripture right here, so don't get nervous. Some of you, this is the most scripture you've read in months. But it's okay. Some of you are like, that's my Bible reading for today, and that'll be okay. But we're going to read scripture. We believe in the Bible here, and we believe in reading scripture. And so instead of just giving you a little part of one little verse, we're going to read a whole account. Acts chapter 3, we're going to begin in verse 1. It says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. In other words, somebody brought him there so he could beg for money. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. So he's begging from Peter and John. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. He was expecting to receive a coin, some money, a couple of dollars, something like that. But then Peter surprised him in verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. This man, I want to remind you, had been lame from his mother's womb. And later in Acts, we know he was 40 years old. So in 40 years, this man had never walked. He'd never stood. So not only were his ankles and legs strengthened and muscles were supernaturally, you know, if you don't use muscles, they atrophy. Not only did that happen and they were strengthened, but he, you know, it takes babies. How long does it take a kid to learn to walk? You know, it takes a while. Even after they crawl, you think they're going to walk. Even after they begin standing. But all that happened in a moment. He went from never walking to walking and leaping all in the same few moments. That's awesome. It's just a whole huge miracle right there. And so he, and of course, praising God. And then verse 9, and all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew this guy, and they knew it was he who had sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled, of course, with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. And verse 11, now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, you know, he held on to them because he was pretty excited about what happened. All the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. And when Peter saw it, Peter knew he had an opportunity, because you got to remember in Acts chapter 2, when everybody ran out to see all these people who were speaking in tongues and acting drunk on the day of Pentecost, Peter knew what to do. He jumped up and preached, and look what Peter did. He did it again. So there is something here to note. When you gather a crowd, when you work a miracle and you gather a crowd, it's time to preach. So just go ahead and share the gospel. So just make a little note of that on the side. And so Peter, he jumped up, he saw it, and he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go, but you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer, Barabbas, to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So does everybody understand what happened? This guy was healed. Peter jumped up and gave an explanation of how he was healed. And so let's go on down to chapter 4. We'll take up beginning in verse 7. Now, what's happened in the meanwhile is Peter and John were arrested by the temple guard. The leaders there, the Sadducees particularly, got very angry by what was being said. They didn't believe in the resurrection. Peter and John were talking about the resurrection. They got angry. They arrested them, and they brought them before the council, the high priest, and the elders. So they're called on the carpet, and they're being tried by the officials. In verse 7, when they had set them, Peter and John, in the midst, they said, so now we're at a council hearing. Peter and John are there with their own trial. And they asked them, by what power or by what name have you done this? And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Okay, so this is the response. Now let's go on to verse 13. This is the decision. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, I want to stop there for a minute, perceived that they were uneducated and untrained. Does that give you hope today? They were uneducated and untrained. Maybe you are. You have great hope today that God can use you in spectacular ways. When they saw they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. How can you argue with a miracle? How can you argue with a man we all know has been lame for 40 years, a man who's been laying week after week, he's been laying here begging, and now he's walking and leaping. There's no arguing with that. So they kind of the argument against that is over. But so they couldn't say anything against it. But verse 15, but when they had commanded them to go aside, so they put Peter and John outside out of the council, and then they talked among themselves, and they said, what should we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem. We can't deny that. Verse 17, they came up with their plan. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they called them, commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, look, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Now, this is an account, first miracle that we see in Acts done at the hands of the apostles, those that were following Jesus, those that had walked with him in Acts after they'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is the first thing that happened, a miracle. It was kind of an accidental miracle. I don't think that Peter woke up that morning and said, hey, I'm going to work a miracle today. No, Peter was on his way for prayer. He was on his way into prayer, not coming out of prayer, but into prayer. And at the temple, into church. He's not even in church, y'all. This didn't happen in church. It happened in the street outside. And on the way, he sees this guy. The guy's begging from him. And he said, hey, forgot my wallet at home. I'll give you something that I do have. And he gives him what he does have. But if you see and follow this, as we did, the issue became the name of Jesus. It was all about the name of Jesus. It wasn't just that they had done a miracle. It was that they were proclaiming the name of Jesus and giving glory to the name of Jesus, and they were saying it was by that name that this had happened. And so the people who were against it, the religious leaders, had this grand idea. We'll just tell them they can't use that name anymore. They can't do anything in that name. We can't. And, you know, we just sang a couple of songs about his name and what there is in the name. But I often wonder, even when we sing that song, what are people thinking when we're singing? We're singing there's power in the name. You know, the first one of those two songs we sang, What a Beautiful Name, that's a really well-known song right now. It's, you know, like all over the internet. People listen to it. Isn't it a beautiful song? Maybe you've seen it on Facebook. Lee University did this really great thing in the chapel. It's gorgeous. You know, it's a pretty song, right? I'm so glad God gave us things like that so we can have pretty songs. Aren't y'all thankful? I mean, all these, it's just like grace. I'm so glad we have grace so we can have that song, Amazing Grace. God's so good how he just gave us these pretty, pretty things so we could have pretty, pretty songs. He's so good. Pretty. It's like he gave us such pretty verses so we could have pretty calendars on our walls and we could make pretty memes. He's so good. Praise you. Sometimes I think that's just about it for people. That's mostly Christianity right there in the world that we live in. That's how it is. Thank you. It's such a pretty song. It's not about having a pretty song. It's not about that at all. We sing the song because of the actual power we have in his name. And I'm just wondering, do people even understand what we're doing? So today, I want to talk to you about his name. And I want to talk to you about what it means when we pray in his name, when we speak in his name, when we preach in his name, when we teach in his name, when we heal in his name, when we deliver in his name, when we cast out the devil in his name, when we live in his name, when we walk in his name, when we carry his name. What does it mean? And how do you do that? Because you need to know more than, oh yeah, in the name of Jesus. I think most of us are familiar with and use the name of Jesus in the context of prayer. How many of you pray in the name of Jesus? You know, to be honest with you, when I was a kid, I used to think, in the name of Jesus. I knew I'd heard about in the name of Jesus, and we were supposed to pray in the name of Jesus. And I remember sometimes that I would pray and maybe I'd leap out in the name of Jesus, and then I'd like feel bad and I'd have to stop and kind of go back and add it. And I remember thinking at times when I'm praying along and then I get to the end and I say, in the name of Jesus, amen. I literally remember having the thought that in the name of Jesus, when I said that, it was kind of just to give God the alert that the end was coming. Da, 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 da. In the name of Jesus. Oh, she's almost finished. Amen. Just like the little blurb at the end. It's just words. In the name of Jesus. Y'all remember? I remember in grade school back before, you know, when we could pray in school, they would used to lead us in blessing before we went to the cafeteria to eat. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. By his heads we are fed. Thank you, Lord, for daily bread. Amen. And I remember being a little kid thinking, well, we didn't say in the name of Jesus. We should have said in the name of Jesus. You know, just like, because this is what we're supposed to do. In the name of Jesus. Any of y'all ever pray in the name of Jesus? You know, I think some people then have a little bit more understanding in the name of Jesus. You hear them, you know, and hear them praying and hear what they're doing with the name of Jesus. And I almost think that in their mind, the name of Jesus is akin to maybe what a magician would think when he said, abracadabra. It's like it's a magic word. You know, we're praying along what we want, and then it's like, abracadabra. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We put it on it, you know. We're going to get it on. I mean, if it's a hard case, if it's a hard case, you got to get down deep in the throat. Jesus. You know, that's when it's really hard. You got to do the deep one. I'm just giving y'all some tips I picked up. I've been a Christian a long time. I've learned a lot of things. Jesus. You say it a lot of times, you know, that really kind of gets you going. This is what it is, right? Isn't this what we do? Isn't this what it's about? Just having the magic word we can throw in there? Yeah. If somebody else is praying, this is a good one. Carol's praying. She's praying along, and she's not praying, you know, with enough spizzarinctum. I can jump in and go, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Kind of really get her prayer, kind of put it over. I often have to put people's prayers over for them so I can, you know, throw in the magic words. I mean, y'all, it's just the silliness that we do as Christians. And we don't really ever consider, what are we doing and why are we doing it? We don't even question. Let's read a little scripture speaking about praying in the name of Jesus. Let's just take a little break from Acts. We're going to come back. Let's go over to John 14. John 14, verse 12. Now, I want you to remember this. When you're reading John 14, when we're saying this, Jesus is speaking this. He's saying this at the Last Supper. I want you to remember that when he's saying this, Peter and John were sitting there with him. Peter and John that we see over in Acts 3, they were there in John 14 when Jesus was saying this. So that's important to remember. Sometimes we get scripture doesn't really go together. There's no cohesion. It doesn't make sense to us. I want you to realize Jesus, these are some of his final hours with them. And he says to them in verse 12, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Now, if you were sitting there with Jesus and you heard him say this, that would have particular meaning to you because those people who were sitting there had seen him do great and mighty works. Hadn't they? They had seen him bring strength to lame legs that got up and walked. They had seen him do all kinds of mighty works. So that meant something. If Jesus looked at you and said, if you believe in me, the same stuff you've been seeing me do, these same miracles that I've been doing that you've watched and, you know, helped me do and been part of, but certainly been around all the, you know, these last 3.5 years, if you believe in me, you're going to do the same works. And then he went on to say, and greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, this is one place, one reason that we pray in the name of Jesus is because of this verse. Because he's saying, if you ask in my name. Now, this word ask doesn't just mean to make a request. That is one part of it. But it means to require something. And it means to call for something. So if you call for something in my name, I'll do it. That's what he's saying. If you request something in my name, I'll do it. If you require something in my name, I'll do it. It also means if you command something in my name, I'll see to it that it's done. If you command something in my name, I'll see to it that it's done. So while we do pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, and of course we do, you'll see in a moment why, we command the world around us, the circumstances of life, and things like lame legs and empty bank accounts and nerve damage and demonic oppression. We command all those things in the name of Jesus. That's what he's saying. But this is in John 14, before he went to the cross, before the day of Pentecost. But in Acts chapter 3, when they walked by the gate and the guy looked at them expecting something and they brought healing and wholeness to him, they could go back to that night. They sat with him at the Last Supper. And remember, he said, I could do the same works he did if I use his name, if I do it in his name. Now, he wasn't just talking to them, he was talking to you. Now, maybe you didn't see the mighty works that he did up close and personally like they did, but I challenge you that you too can see the works of Jesus. You can see them in Matthew. You can see them in Mark. You can see them in Luke. You can see them in John. And that's a really good reason for you to read your Bible. Because how else are you going to see the works of Jesus? You may hear me tell you about them, but you need to get in there and dig around in them. You got to learn them. You got to watch them. You got to watch Jesus do his work so you can learn how to do them. You got to watch what he does and see how he maneuvers in circumstances and who he speaks to and what he says. And you got to see how he commands. Because I can tell you this, what Jesus did and how he worked has very little in common with what I see in the church today. I think if Jesus were to physically come and manifest in the church today, the big C, the church of God across the world, if he came and stood and did his works, it would seem so bizarre he'd be thrown out of most churches. Because we really don't even understand what he did and who he was. And because he wouldn't be getting a tear over a sweet song. He'd be doing stuff. And for that matter, he wouldn't do it just in church. Most of what he did was out there. Very little of what he did was in here. In fact, most what he did when he was in church was rebuke people. Turn over the tables, call them vipers. That's the kind of stuff he did in church. We should do church like Jesus. Y'all aren't ready. I'm coming that Sunday. The Sunday we do church like Jesus, I'm coming. You don't want to be live streaming that Sunday. You want to be in church. You want to see that. All right. But then in the book of Acts, even this first miracle, it didn't happen in church. It happened on the way to church. And somehow or another, we bought into this idea that everything God does is going to happen in church, in a service. There was no singing. As great as Christina and Frank and Courtney and Nate and Kyle, were you singing today? I think so, yeah. As great as they sang and as great as Corey beat the drum and Eric and Jamie were, and Nate. Y'all don't think I pay attention. Do you see? I got them all. As great as all that is, none of that happened. They were able to make a man completely whole without any music beforehand. There was no great worship. I tell you, I've been taught by some great men of God that if I want to see any miracles, there's got to be a lot of worship before I see it. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches something else. The Bible teaches us that there's one very important thing. There's one huge key to the power of God flowing. And it's that name. And faith in that name. No wonder Hebrews tells us that the fruit of our lips should be giving thanks to that name. All right. Let's talk a little bit about what does it mean when I say in the name of Jesus. Because I assume most of us say that at some point or another. Have you ever said in the name of Jesus when you pray? Raise your hand, seriously. I just want to make sure I'm not the only one. Okay. So y'all been taught that way too. In the name of Jesus. There's three primary things, three primary principles that are in play when we do something in the name of Jesus. There's three. And the first one I want to talk about, the first one's such good news, I got to talk about it. When we say in the name of Jesus, when we do something in the name of Jesus, we are doing it on His merit, not ours. In other words, we're staking our claim on something based on His record, not ours. Now, this is great news for me and a couple of y'all here. This is great news because I've goofed up. Have any of y'all goofed up? Well, whether you realize it or not, you were born goofed up. Everybody who's ever been born on planet Earth was born just slap goofed up. We were. The Bible describes it as we were born dead in our trespasses and sins. So we were born goofed up, and then we got after it. Just sinning. Some of y'all are pretty good at that. We can do a little workshop, how to sin and do it big. Come on. I feel like right now would be a good time to mention that Chris Eflint is celebrating 1 year of sobriety. He's just gone public with his goofing up. Some of y'all. On His merit. When I say in His name, I'm saying not on my record. I'm not coming to you, Father, on my record. I'm not facing a lame man on my record. This is not based on what I have done right or what I haven't done right. I'm not coming on my record. And there's two ditches with this. One ditch is, well, you know, I hadn't prayed today. I can't pray for anybody. I didn't read my Bible this morning. You know, I missed church on Sunday. God can't use me. I don't think God will answer my prayer because, you know, I just hadn't been living right. See, these are the thoughts we have that the enemy brings to us that leave us in defeat. And the reason we're defeated is not because the power of God won't flow for you. It's because you disqualify yourself by your own thinking. Well, what would God do for me? You know, if this was Pastor Matt, if I could just get him to pray, maybe God would do something. But this is just me, and look, you know, look how unworthy I am. Well, I'm going to tell you, if Pastor Matt ever tries to approach God on his own merit, he's sunk. All of us are. I never, ever come to God and go, well, God, you know, I'm a pastor. You know, I minister to your people. You know how I've studied your word. You know, Lord, you know those prayers I pray deep in the night. You know I fasted. I prayed an hour a day the whole month of May. So I have a few things to ask today. No! If I ever do that, there'll be no fruit from it. I don't come on my own merit. So there's that side where we come and we disqualify ourselves, but there's also that side where we come and we're all puffed up, like, oh, I'm feeling good today. I prayed. You know, I witnessed to my coworker on the job. God's got to do something for me today. Either way, you're missing it. We come in his name, and we come only on his merit, on his worth, on his record, on what he's done. So the playing field for all of us is level. You don't have more pull than I do. Billy Graham doesn't have more pull than you do, because it's all on the basis of what he's done in the shedding of his own precious blood on his record that he has given us. The Bible says, he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. So he was right, he did right, and he gave you that for your record. And now your record is the same as his. And when you pray in his name, it's just as if he's making that request. And when you command in his name, it's just as if he himself is making that command. It's based on that record. Now see, we can all nod our heads, because I'd be nodding my head, but I'm going to tell you, to really believe that, woo! That takes some renewing of your mind, some changing of your thinking, finding a new perspective, getting a new normal. Absolutely. But that's the first thing you're doing. So whenever you are thinking about in terms of I'm praying in his name, that's kind of what you need to be considering there. You know, it's I'm not going to be denied because of my shortcomings, but I'm also not going to be rewarded because of the good things I've done. Neither one of them. It's all on the basis of Jesus. In fact, in Acts 3:12, that's what Peter said. And I think it's interesting. This is the first thing that he addressed, because I think this is where human nature goes to. Always goes to ourselves. What have we done? Who are we? What are we offering? Where did we get it right? Where did we get it wrong? How am I feeling today? Am I feeling like I'm close to Jesus? Or am I in my wilderness experience? We go through all that. Has nothing to do with that. And that's what Peter addressed straight off in verse 12 of Acts 3. When Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" See, he knew they were looking at them, and the people looked at Peter and John and said, "What's so special about them? They must be something. They must really be something. They must have something we don't have. They have some power." And y'all, we do this in the church today. We do the same thing. I won't call names, but we're like, if we can just get to this certain man of God, he's got the power to do it. Or if I can just get this certain person to pray, you know, God hears their prayers. I know he hears their prayers. You know, I've been at funerals where people stood up and they said, "I know my great aunt, I know she's in heaven, because if anybody deserved to go to heaven, it was her." And I want to throw my shoe. Because you just trampled all over the blood of Jesus. Because great aunt might have been really sweet, and she might have been a godly woman, but it's not on her merit. And it's not on either when you stand at a funeral and go, "Well, you know how he lived." And they mostly address them in this way. "Well, Uncle Bob," because they're sure of where he is. I tell you, what determines your access to God, what determines whether you get to go to heaven when you die, what determines everything spiritually for you is what Jesus has done for you. And that has to be foremost in your thinking, whichever side you tend to err on, because we all tend to err on we're so good or we're not so good. We're good enough or we're not good enough. None of it matters. You got the wrong person in your line of vision. So that's where they were. They were looking at Peter and John thinking, "Well, these guys got something." Yeah, they had something, but it wasn't their own godliness and it wasn't their own power that they had. Now let's just keep a going, because we got two more points here and we got to get through them. All right. Now, the second thing. So first is, when we say in the name of Jesus, suddenly we took the focus off of us. It's in his merit based on his record, what he's done. So suddenly, I'm telling you, we're all in a better spot. Secondly, we're doing it as his representative. So when we preach in his name, when we heal in his name, when we bring the gospel to someone in his name, when we pray in his name, we're doing it as his representative. Colossians chapter 3 in the New Living says in verse 17, "And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." Over and over in the scripture, in the New Testament, we are put together as being representatives of God, ambassadors for Christ. And these guys, they understood that. You know, Harry recently came back from India, and the last place that he and Coleman were in India was down in the southern part of India. And they'd gone down to a church there. It was pastored by a man named Jensen. I'll just use that part of his name because I can pronounce it. So his name is Jensen. Matt and I met Jensen last October in a meeting we were in Alabama. And then maybe in November, he was in North Georgia, and he and another friend of his drove and met Matt and me in some little city somewhere, and we had lunch. I don't even remember where it was. And do you remember where that was we met him? He doesn't either. But we drove there, and we had lunch with him. So we had this relationship with them. And then he was interested in the Essential Eight, and I've sent him some books and sent him some materials. And then he and I have we iMessage back and forth. He has an iPhone, we can iMessage, so we communicate that way. When he found out our son was coming to India, he said, well, I'd like for him to come here. And so we got there, and then we found out right before Harry went, he said, "I want him to preach to my church." And I'm thinking, you want Harry to preach to your church? Harry's 21 years old. Harry's not an ordained minister. Harry's never been to Bible school. You don't know Harry. Never met Harry. You never heard Harry preach. And you want him to come and preach in your church? He's got 800 people. You know, I personally, just as a pastor, I'm thinking, that's not very smart. Don't send your son over here and think I'm having him preach, because we may not. But what I didn't really understand until I started looking into it a little more is this. In his culture, they very much understand the idea that when I send someone, they come as my representative. It's the same as if I myself am coming. So what they did for Harry and Coleman was the same thing that they would have done if Matt and I were there. And they would have asked us to preach, so because of asking us to preach, they had to ask Harry to preach, because our son is representing us. And in their mind, this is the same. It had nothing to do with Harry, his ability, his lack of ability. He never even asked me if Harry preaches, which was kind of funny. It was all based on the fact that he was our representative. But then on the other hand, Harry went there as our representative. So when he came in, his dad came in the room. And when he sat at the table and talked to him, his mom was sitting at the table talking to him, because he was there as our representative. Do you see that? I think in our American culture, we don't understand that nearly as much as people do in other places. But that's what we're doing when we do something in his name. We are doing it as his representative. Now, I want to read you a couple of other scriptures. One is in John chapter 20. This is really John's version of the Great Commission. John 20, 1 verse 21. And I want to remind you, when this was said, Peter and John were standing there. In fact, John wrote about it, so I know he was standing there and heard him say it. Verse 21 of John chapter 20. "So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.'" As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Now imagine Jesus looking at you and saying, "As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Now, weeks later, Jesus is ascended, the Holy Spirit's come, you're on the way to prayer, you're going into church, there's a man, he's laying there. He asked you for something. He's wanting money. And you look at him and suddenly it dawns on you. Hey, I've been sent. I'm here representing Jesus. Here's probably the thought they had. What would Jesus do? Would Jesus, you know, say, hey, I don't have any money, catch you later? Would Jesus say, be warm and be filled and go on by? What would Jesus do? Jesus would say, hey, I know you want money, but I got something better. He was there. Peter that day was there in the name of Jesus. He was there representing Jesus. Now, let me just say this to us. Is, you know, that whole merit thing we talked a minute ago and how we got that goofed up? I think we have this even more goofed up, y'all. How many, let's just be honest, you don't need to raise your hand, but just think about this. How many days of your life do you walk through life as if Jesus is walking through your life? Honestly, think about, most of you work, most of you have a job, you're employed. Think about you walking into your place of employment. When you walk in the door, did Jesus walk in the door? When you talk to the client, when you answer the phone, when you step up to deal with you know, a coworker, did Jesus just walk up? When you walk into a situation, did he just walk up? See, I don't, honestly, I don't think any of us really fully grasp that anywhere near. Because I think maybe the best we have is that when we walk up, the possibility that God could come on the scene is there. I think that's probably the highest, that's as far as we've gotten. Because when I walk on the scene, it's still Susie, but I do know I can call on God if I need to. And I know how to call on him. But it wasn't Jesus that walked up. When you go and, you know, see your neighbor over the back fence, did Jesus just greet your neighbor? Because the way God sees it, he did. But it's not the way we see it. And we need to, we're talking about raising our expectancy, having a high E instead of a low E. That was funny. We need to raise our expectancy till we understand that really, not pretend, not, yeah, Jesus. Not winky winky. Honestly, I was doing some writing this week and I wrote about the wink wink scriptures. There's scriptures in the Bible, we read them and we go, oh, I know it says that, but we know that was one of those scriptures. The same works that I do, you'll do also. Wink, wink scriptures. There's a bunch of them in the Bible. But Jesus is there because we've walked up. And this, I'm telling you, this, you got to let your mind be renewed to think this way. I'm going to tell you this. People around you will think you're weird if you think like this. Because you will start saying what Jesus said. You remember when they came up and they talked to him about the servant that was sick at home, and Jesus' response to it, my servant's at home sick, Jesus said, I will come and heal him. When is the last time somebody told you, well, you know, my mom is in the hospital and she's not doing too well, and you said, I will come and heal her? That's not what you say. If you're feeling especially bold, you'll say, we'll be praying for her. That's a pretty bold statement for some of you. But you certainly, honestly, let's just get real. You wouldn't say, I will come and heal her. But that's what Jesus did. And if we really are his representatives, like the Bible says, and we really believe that he sent us, because I just read to you that he sent not just them, but he sent all of us. And not only that, Mark records in chapter 16, he said that Jesus looked at them and thus all of us and said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And then he told them what would happen. And then he said, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will. And then he listed, cast out the devil. Well, I know believers don't believe that because the devil, last I looked, was everywhere doing lots of stuff. So he needs to be cast out a lot more than what believers are doing. In my name, they'll have supernatural protection. In my name, they'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit, speak with other tongues. In my name, they're going to lay hands on the sick and bring recovery. Not in my name, they'll take your name and put it on the Green Connection card and hope pastor prays for them. I'm just telling you about what the Bible says. Y'all the ones that came here today. I'm just saying, y'all the ones drove over here. I didn't come pick you up. You should have asked. I'd have told you. Might be a little tough. All right. So y'all getting that? As his representative. You're sent. Say, I'm sent. He sent me. He sent me in his name. He sent me in his name to do his works. He sent me in his name to do his works and get his results. All right, I'll stop right there. We're ahead, and we'll stop right there. Any of y'all believe this? That right there would be a great thing for you to just be saying all the time. He sent me. He sent me in his name. He sent me in his name to do his works. He sent me in his name to do his works and get his results. I will come and heal him. Good preaching. The third one, I told you we had three. What does it mean when you say in his name? In his authority. In his authority. In his authority. It literally means, that expression of in his name literally means by his authority or in virtue of the power derived from him. It means you have access to the same power that we see on Jesus, that we see in his ministry, that we see him living in, walking in, you have it. Now, I just found something really interesting. Let's go back up to verse 6 of Acts 3, because Peter and John did something with the name that if you really think about it, it's pretty amazing. In Acts chapter 3, again, verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, he's basically saying, I don't have money. You're looking for money. I don't think they didn't have any money. I think he just didn't have any money on his person. But whatever. Say he had no money. Big deal. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. Now, that's interesting because Peter said he had something. Now, here's a question. Do you think you have something like what Peter had? Do you really think you have something? Now, when you say you have something, he's saying it in the same way, like if I ask today, who's got a 20? Ushers, click this. No. who's got a 20? Carol, you say you got a 20? Carol is telling me she has a 20. What do you mean by that? You have it on you? It belongs to you? It's under her control. She's got the say about that 20. And in that same context, he was saying, silver and gold, I don't have that on me. It's not on my person. I don't have it under my control right now. But I do have something. In the same way that Carol has that 20, Peter and John had something. They had something. And see, here's the difference. We think God has something. God's got the power to heal you. God's got the power to save. God's got the power to restore. And we're all comfortable with that, aren't we? God's got the power to drive out the enemy. Aren't y'all comfortable with me saying that? But where people get really uncomfortable is when we say, I have the power to heal. I have the power to restore. I have the power to make lame legs walk. But that's what Peter was saying. So that's really a different way of thinking about it. See, you think, well, Let us go. Why are you belaboring this point? I'm ready to go. Shut up. You need to hear this. You put everything over on God. And you live in a place where God has everything and you have nothing and you are nothing. And every now and then you go and you, in your little begging, pleading way, when you're really desperate, try to talk God into doing something. And no wonder there's very little power flowing in your life, very little fruit, very little result. When the reality is, Peter's saying, I have something. And I'm not giving you silver and gold. I got something, and we all know it's something better. I have something. But that was a key part of this whole thing. Peter recognized he had something. He didn't say, silver and gold, I don't have, but look, I think we can ask God and maybe he'll do something about this situation. That isn't what he did. He said, I have something. Peter never prayed. Show me where he prayed. Peter never prayed. Peter had something the same way Carol has a $20 bill. He had it. It was in his possession. He had authority over it. And he decided, I'm going to dispense it to this man, just the same as pulling out a 20 and giving it to him. In this pocket, he had the power to heal, and he pulled it out and said, which is how he gave it to him, said something to him and took him by the hand. Do y'all see? Harry, can you see a difference? Wesley? I don't know why I'm asking them. I need to ask somebody who knows something. Candy, can you see? Sean, am I way off base here? Not going to ask you. Do y'all see? There's a difference there. And that's a big difference between the way we have lived and a new way to live. We got something. So he took what he had. Now, you know, I'll just throw this in. Last night, our power went off at our house. Our electricity went off. It was off for several hours. Man, I really like having electricity. And man, it's the pits when you don't. But anyway, so the power was out. I tell you, it's dark when the power's out. You know what? No wonder it's so dark in this world. The power's out. Except the difference between what was going on at my house last night and what's going on in the church today is this. At my house, there was a problem on the end of the one sending the power. But here's the deal. The darkness in the church has nothing to do with the one sending the power. It's because all of us have our switches firmly in the off position. And we are standing, looking at the switches, and we're saying, God, send the power! Send the power! Once you send the power, once you send it, God, send the power! It's in the off position. Because he who has the authority to flip the switch, he ain't flipped it. He's not doing it. He's waiting on God to come from heaven and flip the switch. That's the only switches I could get to. But when you come in, thank you. When you come in here, which I do during the week, I come in here and it'll be dark. It's dark in here, particularly if you come in the evening time. It's dark. It's so crazy how I just, without even thinking, when I walk through the door, I just immediately, my hand goes over here. It's the light. When I do, there's no chorus of angels. You know, Rhonda's in her office. She doesn't run out and go, Pastor Susie! Pastor Susie! Woo! Woo! That never happens. Rhonda, you've been low. Yeah, none of that ever happens. It's just Susie flipping the switch. The power was there. Susie flips the switch. Nobody has ever come to me. Pastor Nate's never come to my office and said, "We need to talk. I hear you've been in there turning the lights on in the worship center. How dare you?" I have authority to turn on these lights. I turn them on when I want. And you can tell by what I just did, I turn them off when I want. That's how it is. Once Jesus said, "As the Father sent me, so I send you." Once he said, "Take my name and go do my works." We have the authority to do it. Matthew 28, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth." Now, you go. You go, therefore. You make disciples of all nations. You do what you've seen me do. Once he said that, I have every right to flip every switch whenever I want. You do. You're sent. It's not based on your good works, whether you fasted in May or not. What if you started out fasting and then you just, it all fell apart and made a big mess of it and just ate everything? And then you feel so bad. "I can't do nothing for the Lord. He can't use me at all. I'm just worthless. I just goofed up." It's not based on your merit. It's based on the fact that he sent you in his name. Now, let me just close up by saying a couple things. I don't think, honestly, I've been just meditating on this. I don't think we even have to say "in the name of Jesus." It's not so much that we say it as much as we carry it and we do it in his name. It's not because "in his name" is a magic word. Now, it helps for us to say "in his name" because it reminds us what we're doing. It reminds the enemy what we're doing. So it's good, but it's not some magic word. And I'm going to just tell you, for me, this is a little correction because I think I get stuck on that "in his name, in the name of Jesus, in his name, in the name of Jesus." I mean, sometimes even I'll be praying before the congregation and the thought goes through my head as I'm ending the prayer, "Did you say in the name of Jesus when you started this prayer? Because if you didn't, you better say it right now, because you got to put those magic words in that prayer and it ain't going to be no good." It's just like this. I've made a religion out of using his name. And it's not about that. It's me praying. I'm praying boldly to my Father in heaven. He always hears me when I pray. That's what Jesus said as he stood outside of Lazarus' tomb. He even said, "I'm not even praying for me. I'm praying for you so you can hear me pray." He didn't even need to pray before he raised Lazarus. And then, when you pray, I mean, when you speak forth that name, you pray in his name, you walk in his name, you teach in his name, you heal in his name. And when we see what Jesus did, Jesus just commanded things. Be well, be whole, be free. Be restored in Jesus' name. Be fruitful. That's what he did. Just speaking it forth, commanding it. Do y'all see this? Anybody understand what I'm saying today? Yeah. Hallelujah. Y'all stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's just thank him for his name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you've given us the authority to use your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that we've been sent. Hallelujah. Thank you that right now, all of us who believe, hallelujah, we get the same results, do the same works. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Let's just pray a moment here. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, what would you have us do in your name? Ask him that. Just ask him right there where you are. Lord, what would you have me do in your name? What would you like for me to do in your name? Jesus, I represent you. Just talk to him right there where you are. Jesus, I'm representing you. What would you have me to do? What's the work you have for me? Is there someone I need to go to? Is there some place I need to go and stand? Is there a chariot I need to chase down like Philip did? What would you have me do? Hallelujah. What do I need to work? What do I need to speak to? What do I need to command? Who do I need to heal in your name? Who do I need to save in your name? Who do I need? Who do I need to deliver in your name? What would you have me do? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. 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 There's so much more for you. There's so much more that the Lord wants to do through you. Oh, hallelujah. There's people that are here. You've longed to see God's healing power flow through you. You've longed to see it. You've seen little bits here and there, and you've seen things happen. But, oh, there's so much more. There's so much more. There's so much more. There's so much more he wants to do. Hallelujah. You trust in his name. You believe in his name. You understand that you have authority in that name, and you just act in his name. Hallelujah. You act in his name. It's not you doing the work any more than it's me causing somehow another light bulb to light up when I flip the switch. I can't light up a light bulb, neither can you. But I can tap into the power. Hallelujah. I can tap into his power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Help us to see. 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 Help us to see.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.